hot and humid in the studio as well.
Judy, I just want to let you know that.
It's hot in here.
Is it like 90 hot or just 70 hot?
Nope, not 70.
You should come down here and check it out.
It's always freezing in that studio.
Yep.
No,
isn't that hilarious?
I'm actually
not hilarious. That's not how I describe it. It's pretty.
Well, it's hilarious that they make it cold when it's cold out and make it hot when it's hot out.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually cooking my dinner in my pants right now.
I might call the boiler room.
Feel free to share. Yeah.
My room is pretty cold, actually.
I'll be right up there.
Chef Boyardee in the pants? What do you got going on?
No, I've wrapped a roast. And just
stuck very nice. Nicely done. Medium rare, please.
Let's go back. We got important people standing by waiting for this. And they don't want to sit here and listen to me talking about my pants. I can tell you that, right? Or what's in them. A.B. Stoddard, you know her, you love her, from Real Clear Politics. And you see her all over the cable news all day long trying to explain what in the hell is going on in Washington.
She does a nice job at that somehow.
Nobody can seem to be able to do. And what I like about A.B. is that she comes at it from like sort of the journalist and you know, looking at the data analysis side of it, which tends to help. And, you know, I was just lamenting a little earlier, AB, the problem is people don't really care about facts anymore. They just care about their team winning or their position being affirmed. And I think this has been going on longer than Trump. I mean, this is not a function of Trump, but you know, Trump's behavior, there's no question about it. It's so bizarre. I don't know if you saw, I'm sure you did. You saw the press availability they did this morning where he had his cabinet around him and they're all around a desk. And then he said he wanted everybody in the cabinet to go around and talk about who they are and what they're doing. And it was one of the most bizarre things I've ever seen. You know, people, I am just so blessed to be working with you, sir. It was like the biggest amount of sucking up I have seen since I was just in my boss's office about an hour ago.
Yeah, it's unsettling. Because there's so much of the conversation around what the White House is doing or not doing is about him and not really about, I mean, cabinet secretaries should be talking about what they're going to do for the country and not the master that they serve, but oh well.
That's exactly what happened, right?
I mean, we're not on the Democrats. You can count on the Democrats to make it worse because Senator Schumer then decided to parody it.
Yeah.
Which makes us all really feel comforted that the Democrats are also trying to move the country forward.
Right. All this
instead
is
instead of making funny Trump videos or whatever they're up to. So, yeah, it's a little distressing.
The Democrats just make this whole thing worse, period, because they're so discombobulated. There's no leadership coming out. Right. You still have Hillary, you know, doing sort of one-offs. You know, she pops up out of the out of the forest. She comes out of the forest, says something, runs back into the forest. And there doesn't seem to be an emergent candidate. And then everybody's looking for somebody. And there's Kamala Harris, the senator now from California, used to be the attorney general there. And she's, you know, people are like, well, is she going to run? No, I'm not going to run, she says. And it's like nobody wants this. It's like people who it's like when Trump tries to find replacements for anything, like the FBI director. They're like, No, that's like, I have that thing. I'm not going to be able to make it. So
I just don't understand why they're all acting so badly. I mean, we have Senator Gillibrand, you know, over the weekend swearing, and Senator Schumer, who's one of the only sort of in leadership national leaders of the party, making fun of Trump instead of saying we're really concerned about the agenda and where we're going and how we're going to raise the debt ceiling in a few weeks and whatever, talking about policy. And then you have, you know, Hillary's always on another self-indulgent world tour about her greatest hits of her self-inflicted woes and what she's deserved and what she, you know, and it's just so, and Kamala Harris is obviously she comes off as very partisan. I just think that they're not speaking to, you know, what the country is crying out for, which is some economic growth and some kind of, you know, anti-partisan governing message. And everyone is trying to sort of outdo each other in dysfunction.
I have to say, though, go back to the primaries and you saw that when Republicans were all scratching their heads about why it was that Trump was getting traction, well, in part because there were 16 of them, right? But Trump was getting traction. Then as it kept winnowing it way down as you move through the winter into the spring, there were still people were surprised by it. And The fact is, people, when they wanted to go up against him, they tried. Remember when Marco Rubio was going to be the tough guy, mm-hmm. right? And he was going to be.
Yeah. How long did that last?
Right. You know, take that. I'm not little Marco at all. You know, he's got, and it was, and then, you know, they just look stupid trying to play his game. There's only one Donald Trump, you know? I mean, thankfully, I suppose, but there's only one, and it's not like doing that, behaving in that way and being pugilistic and all those things, or the weird sort of fabulousness that goes on there, fabulism. That takes place. It's weird to listen to this. Now, tomorrow, the rubber hits the road mm-hmm. at the Senate when Jeff Sessions returns to the House from which he emerged, and he has to, under oath, testify about his meetings with Russia. There's now an expectation, and this is the second craziest thing I'm going to ask you, AB. There's a crazier one coming, that there's an expectation that they are going to invoke executive privilege, which is going to frustrate everybody.
Right. And that is going to be an interesting line that he tries to sort of straddle, because the executive privilege, I believe, you know, as I understand it, covers deliberations about, you know, serious presidential topics, which the firing of Comey could be included in. And so there's no question that Democrats will talk about Senator Sessions, Attorney General Sessions' decision to recuse himself for not disclosing meetings with the Russian ambassador when he was Senator Sessions. And that happened many months ago, and he recused himself. And Trump's very upset about that, felt that that was led to everything bad that's happened since, is all Jeff Sessions and his, you know, all leads back to his recusal. And so they are going to ask about whether or not the terms of the recusal would require him to not be a part of the firing of the FBI director. So that is who was in, you know, expanding his probe into Russia, and which frustrated Trump and was really the reason which he fired Jim Comey. So that's going to be asked about. And it is a very important topic. It's very material what his idea of a recusal really means. Mm-hmm. And then he's probably not going to answer those questions, but I don't think he can claim executive privilege on his meetings with the Russian ambassador. And if there is in fact evidence, which the reporting is a little shaky. I mean, it says that James Comey reported to senators on the Intelligence Committee in closed session last Thursday that there may have been a third meeting. So what's happening with the Russia probe is that there were just a couple of people connected to the Russians, and then there were four, and now it looks like there might be six. And so that's where the real concern is growing, that it wasn't just Roger Stone and then Carter Page, this kind of loopy dude on the outside that's never even met Trump. Then it was Paul Manafort. Then it was Michael Flynn, who became NSA. And then now it seems to be Jared, and who didn't disclose the meetings on his SF-86, which is the application for a security clearance. And the Russian side of the story is that he was talking about Kushner Enterprise business with him. And then you get to, you know, maybe even another meeting that Sessions might have had with Sergei Kislyak, mm-hmm. the Russian ambassador. Right. So I think I don't understand how he doesn't answer those questions, and that, you know, if he never had another meeting and he's going to just, you know, walk away, maybe the hearing doesn't go so badly. But it doesn't surprise me that Sessions is willing and enthusiastic about offering himself up to testify and offering to do it in open session, yeah. because he is the attorney general. He's a serious guy. He is at some point trying to sort of protect his credibility. It does not please Trump. But, you know, I think he wants to answer as many questions as he possibly can.
One of the things you pointed out in your recent column about Sessions is that we may or may not find out during this testimony whether he offered his resignation, which was reported pretty widely last week. And then you talked about that one tweet that the president had. The Justice Department should have stayed with the original travel ban, not the watered-down, politically correct version they submitted, seeming to undermine Sessions himself, and wondering if there was some, you know, discord between the two, and that if he was, in fact, ready to resign over something like that. Is that something?
The reporting shows that he did offer to resign, and that Trump said no, and that people around Trump have swarmed him with urgent appeals about why that would look terrible and why Jeff Sessions should stay on board. and he should sort of try to make, you know, amends and keep going with Jeff Sessions. That was a public rebuke of Jeff Sessions, that tweet. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of thing, although we know historically many presidents have a lot of beefs with their attorneys general, particularly when there is an investigation going on into members of the West Wing at the Justice Department. It's happened to other people, other presidents. But it's very rare, it's sort of unprecedented to sort of publicly give them a good swat the way he did in that tweet about a revised travel ban executive order, which he himself signed.
It's a swat.
And they didn't actually do sneaking behind his back.
Well, and against a guy who's been so loyal to him, right?
Right. The other there part from of the- day one.
Yeah. I mean, he really has, and that's he was the only senator to endorse the guy before he was the presumptive nominee and no one had any choice.
Right.
So
yeah, that's an excellent point. They didn't have a choice. All right, here's the crazy thing I'm going to say. I'm just going to leave you with this.
Oh, it's hot.
I'm not predicting. I'm not predicting because you know how I like to predict. Like Reince Priebus out by July. I said by like July 31st, mm-hmm. but I might be late on that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm now, you know, you're hearing a lot in the last 24 hours in Washington, people speculating that Trump might fire Robert Mueller.
Hmm.
Yeah, I had breakfast with a Republican senator last week who told me that firing Bob Mueller, which of course back then was unthinkable because that was a week ago, would be probably an impeachable offense. But now we've moved into the next new normal, which is that everyone's trying to smear Bob Mueller and make it sound like he's fireable. And so that's interesting. I mean, I really don't know. It looks sort of concerted. I mean, you know, the questions to Jay Sekulow on this week and then Newt Gingrich's tweets, although Newt Gingrich is selling a book on Trump. And apparently somebody reported on Twitter today from CNN that he's still deep in his 2012 campaign debt. But, you know, I don't know. It's not out of the question that this could become a bigger echo, and in the days to come into next week, we start hearing people say that it's very hard to imagine a big voice of Republican lawmakers joining in with this, because if you noticed, Trump's sons went out and bashed Comey, but Republican senators and lawmakers did not, congressmen and senators. So they didn't join in that. So I'm going to be surprised if they jump on the let's bash Bob Mueller bandwagon.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean that other allies in the universe of the Republican Party won't do that.
Understood. Hmm. All right. Thank you, AB. Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
AB Stoddard.
More later.
Yes, exactly.
More to come.
Yeah. And if you want to read her or see the things that are happening in Real Clear Politics, it started right here in Chicago. RCP.
I love that.
All right. Real Clear Politics. Politics.com. Okay, here is Violetta Patermedic, WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.